Well, Senator Grassley, just wrapping up here at PPI, you were last here 9 years ago. What were some of the major topics discussed, especially with our local economy here in Pella?
Well, I think most often the tariffs. People are interested in that. And then obviously the reconciliation bill, the bill that keeps the tax laws of 2017 in effect in well into the future. Otherwise, they'd sunset and we'd have the biggest tax increase in the history of the country, and we don't want to hurt middle-class America that way. And then we talked about some of the principles of government. They wanted to know a lot about me personally. I'm glad to share that with anybody that's interested, and things of that nature.
I wanted specifically to ask you about some of the comments about tariffs. You mentioned, would you say it's kind of uncertainty going forward?
Yeah, I think putting tariffs on and then delaying them and sometimes reducing them, I think for businesses that depend on some imports, it makes it very uncertain. On the other hand, I'd have to say that the president's approach is working much better than 3 or 4 months ago. I thought it would work because we've had 110 countries say they want to negotiate tariffs down. We have 18 very serious negotiations going on at the same time with some of our biggest trading partners. And maybe the president's plan is going to be successful, and I hope it is, because we're all better off if we get tariffs down.
I did want to ask you, you're obviously on your tour here of Iowa, but Joni Ernst has also been around today. She was asked earlier today about the Big Beautiful Bill, specifically Medicaid portion of it. I wanted to also get your kind of response. There were some concerns raised about the impact it could have on people who are depending on Medicaid.
Well, the ones that are dependent on Medicaid and probably have been on Medicaid for a long time, like people in low-income groups, pregnant women, single families that have children at home, disabled people, they have no fear of losing Medicaid. In fact, I can say even the people that we're making changes for don't have to lose Medicaid. There's one thing that is a big saver in the whole program, and that's people that are 19 to 64 that are able-bodied. That means they don't have disabilities, they don't have children at home, things of that nature. There's going to be a work requirement for them, like the state legislature of Iowa put a work requirement on Medicaid. Our approach in Washington, make it uniform. And the work requirement is not anything that's real difficult. It could be 20 hours a week at a job. It could be working for a nonprofit. It could be taking care of seniors in the family. It could be going back to school. All those things would qualify. So as long as you are doing some of those things, you won't be kicked off of Medicaid and things of that nature. And that's about half of the savings that are in the House bill, just that work requirement. And that work requirement is, let me emphasize, the Iowa legislature is going to require it, even if Congress doesn't pass this. And it's a requirement at the federal level for food stamps, as an example. And it's based on the principle, not just that you want to force people to work to get a government program. When you have a government program that you can take benefit of it without working, you should not have any federal policy that disincentivizes people to work. And then it's just a fact of life in our American society. If you want to get out of poverty, you got to be in the world of work. And if you choose not to work, then you're going to have a lifetime of poverty. And it's a lesson that we learned from the 1990s welfare reform bill, when we had three generations of families on welfare, and we felt that that was wrong to have people be poverty-stricken for so long, so we started having work requirements, and about 40% of the people got off the welfare rolls because they got a job. And if you're in a job, you get a chance to work your way up and out of poverty. And you can't ever do that if you're always on government programs.
Since Iowa already has that work requirement for us, would it have any change having that in this bill?
I haven't read the Iowa bill, so I think it'd be wrong for me to answer your question. But it's my understanding is similar to what we're trying to do in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Did you
I got to talk to Monday.
I will ask you, since obviously you're here today to talk about ESOPs. You had mentioned, you know, you have tried to introduce this legislation in the past that, you know, was discussed today. I'm curious about why you think this would be, you know, different this time going forward and maybe have that success.
Well, ESOPs, that's a government or the employee-owned company. And it's very useful for those companies to have ESOPs because when all the workers have an interest in the success of the company, productivity is really enhanced. And so what really I was trying to tell the group that at this ESOP-owned company that there's not any controversy about ESOPs in Washington, D.C. There are some bills to expand ESOPs, but understand this has to start with the owners of the company wanting their employees to have a part of the act. And so there's not much we can do in Washington to drive companies to ESOPs, but what we can do is do a lot to get out of the way so if they want to do it, they can have the success that ESOPs give to most companies.
I think that's
lovely. Okay. To leave it there. Thank you, guys.
Perfect.